Well, good morning. Welcome, Friendship. We are so thankful that you've decided to come here today and join us in the Arctic Central Indiana area. It is cold out there today. If any of you have trouble starting their cars this morning, anyone? Okay, all right, just a couple of you. That's good. So glad that you are here. I mean, I tell you what, on days like this, I am so thankful for our parking lot team. I am amazed that those guys are out there doing an unbelievable job. You know, if you had a conversation with them today, it probably wouldn't sound like that. Yeah, go, welcome, because their face is frozen. But they're out there doing an unbelievable job this morning, and we certainly want to thank them. Hey, today is week two in our seasonal series, Building a Life That Matters. We're talking specifically today about your spiritual life. We're talking about how you can expand your understanding of who God is. Now, one of the things that I hear people ask all the time, how do I know more about God? How do I understand this? And a lot of times, there's a lot of things that take place, a lot of things that people do that seem to make sense when you look at it from a, let's just call it a Christian perspective, right? If you want to know more about God, well, you should definitely sit at home on late night TV and watch, you know, preachers on TV, because that's the best way to know more about God. You should go to a, you know, a Zondervan Christian Trinket store and find a book that you really want to read about God. You should just sitting around and talk with other people about their experiences about God and all these different things that we come. Or maybe, you know, go to Bible college. That would be awesome. Go to Bible college and you can learn more about God. But there's one thing that really I think is so important for us to understand about this thing with God. We cannot treat God like he's some course that you take. We can't treat God and experiencing more of God like it's something that you can sit down and you can take a class on and you can take a test on, and when you come out the other side, then you've got a better understanding of God. You see, sometimes we equate an understanding of God with a book knowledge about God. But here's something that I have learned, both from reading the scriptures and both from having been a pastor's kid my entire life and now a pastor for over 20 years. It doesn't matter how well you think you know God, he will throw you a curveball just to remind you you don't have any clue about what he's up to, because that's God. In fact, God says in the Old Testament, my ways are not your ways. You cannot understand the things that I'm doing. You cannot understand who I am. The only way that you can even begin to get a glimpse of who I am is if you begin in relationship with me. And that's the thing that I think is so important for us to understand about this whole thing with God, is that it's a relationship. And so here's the best way I'm going to put it. Okay, big idea. If you miss everything else I say today, here's the big idea. It's very, very simple. You'll only grow deeper in your understanding of God. You'll only grow deeper in your understanding of God when you grow closer in relationship with God. You'll only go deeper in your understanding of who God is and how he works and what his desires are, what his loves are, what his passions are, what he likes to do, the way he does things. The only way you're going to get a deeper understanding of God is to grow closer in your relationship with God. So now, I'm going to offer a relational quiz. Let's see, I know y'all love quizzes. Let's see what your relationship acumen is, okay? It's multiple choice. Everybody loves multiple choice. My favorite in high school and college was essay, because I can talk to the point at some point in time and get there. And I would just, you know, write these big, long essays. And I think the teachers would just give me a good grade because they didn't want to read it. So, but here, multiple choice, okay? So if you want to get to know someone better, maybe it's a boyfriend, maybe it's a girlfriend, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, okay? So A, B, C, I'm going to give you all four choices. A, B, C, D, I'm going to give you all four choices. Let's see how wise and how good you are in understanding relationships. Choice number A, if you want to get to know this person better, choice number A is this: read books written by other people regarding their relationship with that person, okay? That's choice number A. Reading a book written by someone else regarding their relationship with that person. Choice B. Watch movies that highlight things about them and how they work. Watch movies that highlight things about them and how they work. That's choice B. Choice C. Choice C is listen to others talk about them. Listen to others talk about them. And then choice D, and just in case you're really, really bad and sitting next to your spouse and you don't want to fail miserably, this is the correct choice. Sit down and engage them one-on-one. Sit down and engage them one-on-one. Now, see, think about that. And I just want to put this in just, you know, I love all of you that know Jesus Christ. I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I love Christians. But I think we need to be honest with ourselves sometimes. I think we choose A, B, and C way more than we ever choose D when it comes to knowing a relationship with God. We'd rather go to a bookstore and buy a book written by somebody else as they share their relationship with God than just sit down and have a relationship with God ourselves. We'd rather watch a movie that's awesome. Oh my gosh, this movie is so great. I love it when y'all come up and tell me about the movies that you've seen that are Christian movies, but can I just be very, very blunt and very honest with you? If you enjoy them, praise God. If they help your spiritual life, praise God. Wonderful for you. The vast majority of Christian movies get under my skin so badly because their theology is so bad and so off base and so horrible. No, a little kid did not go to heaven and come back and tell us about it, okay? It just didn't happen. Because the Bible doesn't say that anyone can go to heaven and then come back. It doesn't work that way. It is appointed for once for man to die. That's it, okay? So that's just reality. So these movies, there's nothing wrong with them. But if that's your main source of a relationship with Jesus Christ, man, you're going to expect every time you pray, you get everything you ask for. You're going to expect you open your Bible and you're going to find the answer when you go, oh, that's the answer. And you know, that's just the way Hollywood works, okay? Just remember, the people that usually are making these movies are not people that love Jesus Christ, and they probably got screwed up theology to begin with. The third thing that we often do, because we think that this sounds really, really good, and let's just be honest, that's what we're doing right now, is we listen to other people talk about him. And I'm going to be very blunt right now. If this is your only source of your understanding and relationship with God, you are in trouble. Because all you're doing is hear me share with you what I have found in the Word of God. And if you don't take it and make it yours and dig into the Word of God on your own, then when trouble hits, you're going to think that I've got the answers for you. And let me tell you something. The only answers I ever have are found first in the Word of God. And the best way that you can find the answers is for you to get into the Word of God yourself. You see, it's about relationship. You cannot, if you're married to someone, go, I just don't understand why they do it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a book that somebody else told me that was good, that they read, that somebody else shared their marriage struggles and how their wife did this, and then I'm going to get it all figured out. How about you sit down with your wife or your husband and go, what's going on? Ask the question. Have a conversation. That's what we need to do with God. Because our relationship with God is exactly that, a relationship. You go, now hang on a second. My husband, my wife, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, they're sitting right next to me. I can pinch them, punch them, and poke them when they don't do what I want them to do. I can go and have lunch with them and talk about the difficulties and the things that are going on. They're a physical, tangible person. I can hug them. I can cry at them. I can holler at them. They're there. I can do this. God's not like that. Actually, he is. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that God is spirit and no man has seen God the Father. But we see that Jesus Christ took on flesh. God himself took on flesh and became like us so that he could show us what the Father is like. And the Bible is often called, especially if you grew up in church, the Bible is often called God's Word. Now, that sounds really good, like, oh, open your copy of God's Word this morning. I don't have a deep enough voice to do that, but open your copy of God's Word this morning. And you hear that, right? You're like, oh, it's just this kind of this colloquial expression that's often used in church regarding the Bible. It's God's Word. Process what that actually means, though. When you open your Bible, whether it's on an app, whether it's on your iPad, whether it's on the back of notes, whether it's a physical Bible that you use and you take notes and you jot in, or maybe it's a Bible that you got when you were saved and you've just always kept it with you, whatever the case may be, when you open up the Bible, you are literally reading and listening to the words of God. God is speaking through those things to you. And you go, don't I need an interpreter? That's why when you accept Jesus Christ, you get this third person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit, who helps you see and understand what you read. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you three things, three very specific things that if you want to grow your understanding and you need to deepen your relationship, how to deepen your relationship so your understanding of who God is can grow. I'm going to give you three specific things. This is not rocket science. Not any one of these points you're going to go, whoa, I never thought of that before. But when we stop, sometimes we make things that are incredibly simple, ridiculously complex. Don't we do that? Us guys especially, you know, I'm a guy, and I like doing things with my hands. And when I get a project that comes with directions, I'm like, all I need is pictures. I don't need words. All I need is pictures, right? And then it ends up taking me three times as long because I didn't follow the simple directions. Now, honestly, some things, the directions were written by an idiot most of the time. But sometimes, right, you know, like slot B into slot A and three, you know, it just doesn't work. But anyways, you know, we just make things more complex than they actually are. So let's, from a very simple, relationship-oriented understanding, grab hold of this and realize what it means to have a closer relationship with God. And it begins by you shutting up and listening to God. You see, if you really want to know someone, if you really want to grow a relationship with someone, the absolute number one way is to listen. Now, those of you that like to talk, I get it. I understand it. But here's the thing. If you don't stop and listen, you're going to miss out on what God has to say to you. You go, well, it's a Bible. It's written to everybody. Yes, I understand that. But that's why God gives you the Holy Spirit. So as you read the Word of God, God actually has those things jump out at you and slap you in the face and hit you with a spiritual 2x4 and encourage you and lift you up or challenge you or make your eyes look further down the road, whatever the case may be. Because as you listen to God, God is speaking to you. Now, let me just pause for a second because I think this is so important for us to understand in our day and age, especially if you ever watch late night TV preachers. They will say things like, well, God spoke to me. Awesome. You better make sure that the things that God speak to you actually line up with what he's already said, because what he's already said isn't going to change. And I can guarantee you God didn't speak into your heart last night that you need a new Mercedes-Benz and everyone else needs to pay for it. Okay? You're like, well, I like Mercedes-Benz. Great. Work hard. Work hard. Because that's the way that God's laid it out for us to do. So as we look at this, we have to understand it begins with listening to God. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16, chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. It says, everything in Scripture is God's word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting them and for showing them how to live. The Scriptures train God's servants to do all kinds of good things. I want to challenge you to personally accept the responsibility for your own spiritual growth. Now, I want to keep that verse up there for a little bit, guys. I want to challenge you to accept the responsibility for actually growing yourself spiritually. And I want you to see what the Bible says is the process for you to grow yourself spiritually. It begins by saying that all Scripture, everything in Scripture is God's Word. In other words, when you read the Word of God, when you read the Bible, you can be absolutely 100% guaranteed this comes from God. When you hear from other people, are you sure that it comes from God? No. When you hear other people read or talk or write books or you watch movies, are you 100% sure that it's actually accurate with what God has said? No. And by the way, God never contradicts himself. Ever. Because he's God. He's perfect. Everything lines in with each other. And so the starting point for your entire spiritual life begins with an understanding that God's word is the ultimate and there's nothing else. Nothing else. You go, but I read this and it makes me feel, your emotions now have become more important than the word of God. Well, I went through this thing and I think that it, your experiences have now become more important than the word of God. Everything in life must be viewed through the filter of God's word. And if you want to grow spiritually, look at what it says. All of it's useful for teaching. The word of God, as you read it, teaches you. The word of God, as you read it, helps you. The word of God, as you read it, corrects you. The word of God, as you read it, shows you how to live, and the scriptures will train you. You see, everything that you need to know about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ is found within the pages of God's Word, the 66 books, Old Testament and New Testament. Yes, they both matter. They help each other understand. And as you as a person accept the challenge and say, it is my responsibility to become the man or the woman that God's called me to be, I'm going to take hold of it, and I'm going to begin by listening to God as He speaks to me through His Word. Now, is that all we need? No, let's keep moving, because the Bible makes it very clear that we often need others to come in and help us. And at Friendship Church, we do some things that help you understand, help you take the pieces and understanding of the Word of God and put them together. We do these things called workshops, and we've got several scheduled this year already. We've got one scheduled in March 5th where it takes the whole Old Testament and does in 2 hours an overview of the Old Testament so you can see how all the pieces fit together. And let me tell you something, when you go through that and then you go back and you begin to read the Old Testament, you're like, oh my goodness, now it all clicks and it makes sense, because we see the whole Old Testament in a big picture overview of doing that. Then we also, in April 2nd or April 30th, we're going to go through the life of Christ. Oftentimes when people say, oh, the life of Christ, let's begin in the book of Matthew in the New Testament. No, if we're going to look at the life of Christ, we need to begin in the book of Genesis. Because every book of the Bible, starting from Genesis and ending in Revelation, Jesus Christ shows up. The entire Bible is all about pointing you to Jesus Christ, everything in it. And then the last one, brand new this year, we're going to be doing at the at September 10th, is we're going through the end times and Revelation. I'm like, oh, everyone goes, woo, end times and Revelation. It's going to be fun. It's going to be engaging. But, you know, relax. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. So end times and Revelation, so that you can kind of put a whole picture of what the Bible is and how it works together so that you can actually read it and study it for yourself. Now listen, when you listen to God, which means you're reading His Word, right? There are two really important things that you've got to do, and here's why these two things are important. Essentially, scientists tell us that within 24 hours of seeing or reading something or hearing something, we only retain somewhere between 5 and 15%. And some of you are like, well, I'm a 15%er, and he's a 5. But somewhere between 5 and 15%, if all we ever do is either hear it or read it, it's somewhere between 5 and 15% that we actually, you know, are able to consume and remember. The rest of it's gone. So somewhere between 85 and 95% of what we hear or read, we don't remember 2 days later. Now that's a crazy thought. So scientists, I'm just going to, you know, all truth is God's truth. Scientists tell us that there are two important things that you can do that will take what you have heard or what you read and absolutely expand your ability to retain information. The first thing is to write it down, to take notes. I've had people go, why do you guys put notes in the back of your, why don't you just give us a blank sheet of paper? Because I know what will happen on a blank sheet of paper. I'd be doodling and drawing all sorts of race cars and stuff like that. And some of you, by the way, you forget your notes on Sunday mornings. And we look at them, and you have doodles and race cars on them, okay? So it's all right. It's all right. If it keeps you paying attention, it's all good. But the reason we do that is because when you write it down, it doubles to triples what you remember. It doubles to triples. And look at what the Bible says. I think this is really cool. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. It says, listen, if you really are serious about understanding who God is and serious about deepening your relationship, then you need to maximize what you're doing and you need to be jotting things down, whether it's on Sunday morning and you're taking notes, whether it's when you're reading the Word of God and God hits you with something, you've got a little notebook next to it that you take it down, whether you do notes on your iPad or your phone or whatever the case may be, and you're doing those things, write it down. Use more of your senses, and the more of your senses that you use, the higher level of retention that you'll have for the things that God is teaching you, and therefore your relationship will grow deeper because your understanding of God is growing deeper because your relationship with God is growing closer. By the way, it works in all relationships. If somebody that you love or you want to know tells you something, one of the best things you can do is write it down, especially if you're going to the store to pick something up. Just a little marriage advice, okay? The second thing, not only do you need to write it down, but I love this. This one takes your retention from 5 to 15% to over 90% retention. Over 90% retention. You know what it is? It's that you actually act on it. Somebody says, listen, I want to teach you how to jump rope. Let me show you. And they show you how to jump rope, right? And you go, oh, cool, I've got it. And you walk away. You've not learned anything. You've watched somebody else exercise. That's all you've done. If then they hand you the jump rope and you begin to do it, you're like, oh. That's why, you ever heard the expression, it's like riding a bike? As a kid, you rode your bike everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And you just were running all over the place on your bike and that type of thing. And then like 40, 50 years later, you've not ridden a bike in that long. But because you actually acted on it and did it, you'll never forget how to ride a bike. Unless you get amnesia or, you know, something like that. Because it's always there. Now listen to this. I love this because this is a verse that we've used for years and years and years at Friendship. At one point in time, before we redid the building out here, this verse was actually in a kind of a capstone there. It's James chapter 1, verse 22. It says this, but be sure to live out the message and do not merely listen to it. And so, what's that say? Isn't that interesting? Because this first part, right, be sure to live out the message and do not merely listen to it. Yeah, that makes so much sense. But then he adds a warning at the end. If all you do is listen and you never act on it, you are fooling yourself. You go, oh, I'm so spiritually deep. No, you're not. You just got a lot of knowledge. You ever met somebody that's got a lot of knowledge, but they weren't too brilliant? Got a lot of Christians that are like that. They got a lot of knowledge about God, but they have no relational experience with God. And God says that without that relational experience, you do not truly understand me, and you never will. So take responsibility this year for your own spiritual growth and begin to listen to God. The second thing that deepens your relationship is that now that you've listened, now you can talk to him. Now that you've listened, now you can talk to him. I think prayer is unbelievable. Prayer is an unbelievable thing that God has given us. It is powerful. It is effective. It is necessary. If you do not pray, I would challenge you to begin to do so today. But here's the thing that I think is so important. Here's what a lot of times people do is they don't do the first part. They don't listen to God. All they want to do is talk to him. God, let me tell you what I think. God's like, I don't care what you think. Let me tell you what I think you should do, God. No, that's not a part of my character. Didn't you listen to what I had to say over here? And we start praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and our prayer is out of context, and it is ineffective, and it is empty. And guess what? It's not for God. You're doing it to make yourself feel good about yourself. Well, I prayed about it. God didn't answer, so I took matters into my own hands. How's that working out? You see, once you listen to God, that's when prayer, that's when talking to God actually becomes effective and powerful, because now you pray according to what you know God has already said. And you're praying in line with how God is working in your life and the lives of those around you because you've already spent all this time listening to God. Look at this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus Christ is talking and he's sharing in a message about what it means to talk to God. And he says this, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. He's talking about talking to God. But remember, this is so important. People point to this verse and they go, I asked and God didn't give it. That's because you're asking for the wrong thing because you didn't listen to him first. Well, I was searching and I wanted God, yes, but you didn't listen to him first. This verse is absolutely empty if you haven't listened to God first. Because only when you listen to God can you know how to pray and talk to God. And I love how Jesus takes this. And he goes, listen. What man among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Your kid comes and goes, Dad, I'd like a sandwich. Listen, son, outside there's some rocks. Go pick some rocks. What? I want some bread. I'm hungry. I know. You know what? Just go get some stones. Like, no, you wouldn't do that. What kind of idiot would do that? If your kid's hungry, you feed him, right? You don't say, go work some more. You feed him. And then he says, okay. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. I don't know why, give him a fish. But, I guess it's the hungry thing again. I want to eat fish, although I love two fish, but I can't stand the taste of fish. So give him a fish. You give him a snake, an inedible, poisonous creature. Why would you do that? That just doesn't make any sense. That's like today if your kid comes and goes, I want a puppy, and you give him a cat. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's totally pointless. Then he goes on, he says, okay, let's give him one more. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Okay, those of you that are moms and dads, let that sink in for a minute. You know what? I love giving good things to my children, but I also am making sure that the good things that I'm giving to them fit within who I want them to become. I'm never going to give them something that I don't think fits who I want them to become. I'm not going to do that. Well, yeah, but so-and-so has this, this, and this. Yeah, and I know how they're going to turn out. I see their lives. I see the people they're hanging around with. No, this is not a good idea. You're so mean. No, I love you. So I'm not going to give that to you. I see how you drive. No, you cannot get your driver's license yet. I want you to survive. You're so mean. You ever been told you're so mean as a parent? Did you do it because you were mean? Now some of you are like, yeah, I did because I was mad. Now you usually say no because you know it's not best for them. Why then, when God says no to you in prayer, do we moan and complain and whine? God, you must hate us. No. I love you. Therefore, I will not say yes to this. Yeah, but what about the whole asking and seeking and receiving thing? I mean, he says it right there. Right. We ask so that we can get what's needed to become who God's called us to be. And if we are asking so that we can get what's needed to become what God has called us to be, he will always give it. If we seek and we go, God, we need answers, we have decisions, we need to do something about this, and we seek God's wisdom, he will always give it. If we knock on the doors of the opportunities and directions of life because we don't know which way to go, guess what? He will give it. If we listen first, then we talk. Our relationship with God begins to grow deeper. And there's one last thing. Not only do we need to listen, not only do we need to talk, but then we need to engage with others. Now, this is where other people become so important. Because when you begin to talk about God and what you've learned as you've listened to God and prayed and talked to God, and now you begin to engage with others and say, let me tell you something. I was reading in the Bible the other day. I was reading what God was saying. And then I began to talk to him about this. And this is how God answered me. What happens is you widen your perspective, because as you share that, they will go, wow, that is so cool. I was reading the same verse, and this is what God showed me, and this is what I prayed, and this is how God gave me an answer. You're like, wow, I never thought about it that way before. Because you see, the Holy Spirit was teaching them something because of where they were, and the Holy Spirit was teaching you something because of where you were. And when the two of you get together and talk about it, you both hear what God was teaching each other, and it widens your perspective. It's like going from standard definition to 4K. You can see the picture, but it's like, whoa, when you get to that. When you engage and talk with others about God and what God's doing in your heart, what God's doing in this, and you begin to do things together, both in community and just regular conversation that comes out. I've been amazed about the spiritual conversations that God has given me in situations that have absolutely nothing to do with church whatsoever. Because engaging people and having those conversations, things come up. And you begin to talk about that, and your faith deepens and it grows and it strengthens. This is where reading somebody else's story about their relationship with God fits in. Like, yeah, I read that passage. I didn't get that out of that passage. That's awesome. And you begin to apply that to your life that way too. And I want you to see this. This is actually God's plan, believe it or not. Surprise. Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 26 and 27. This is the very beginning of the organizational church. This is the very beginning of Jesus Christ putting the pieces together of what is to become this thing that sweeps across the world and reaches people for his name. It takes place in Jerusalem after the apostles had preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 men plus their wives and children all accepted Jesus Christ, and this massive thing was taking place. And then it describes what they did. It says they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, as they worshiped together, as they met in homes together, as they ate meals together, yes, one of the best things you may be able to do is go say, hey, you know what, you want to go grab some lunch? Yeah, sounds fantastic. I'm sure somebody's got some Sunday special or cafeteria or something like that. I remember when I was a kid, it was always MCL cafeteria. I was so disgusted by that. I'm sorry. Okay, I get off track. They shared their meals together. They praised God together. And guess what? As they did all these things together and they were sharing what God was doing in their life, as they listened to God and they talked to God and they engaged with others, guess what happened? Other people saw that and they're like, I don't know what that is. I want it. The Bible says the Lord added to their number daily. You see, as we begin to pursue building a life that matters, and we take that responsibility of our own spiritual growth, as we listen to God, as we talk with God, and we engage others, the engagement that we have with each other becomes magnetic to other people. They begin to see it, and they go, I don't know what's going on here, but I want to be a part of that. You see, when you take responsibility for your own spiritual life, you actually begin to take part in the big picture of what God is doing around the world, because God desires that no one would die in unsaved, unrepentance from Him, and that all would come to salvation. And through your desire to build a deeper relationship with God, and you engage others and you have those conversations, the magnetic draw of Jesus Christ being talked about pulls other people in to want to know who Jesus Christ is too. It's a beautiful thing when we take seriously and we take our own responsibility to grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to know who God is, if you want to grow deeper in your understanding, my friend, let me tell you something. It's not found in any other place than the Word of God. You've got to grow deeper and closer in your relationship. Not your knowledge, not your book smarts, in your relationship with Him. Father, we thank You so much. It is such a joy to be able to communicate Your Word. But God, I pray more than anything today that every single person within the sound of my voice would not just take what I'm saying as, oh, well, that sounds great, but God, they would dig in, they would find out if it's true. Don't just accept it on face value. Take these passages of Scripture, go look them up, dig into them, ask the questions, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart, see that it's true so that it becomes who they are. That God, they would take personal responsibility for their relationship with You. They not look at other people and say, well, because of them and because of this and because of this experience and because of this situation, therefore I can't know God. No. God, help them to embrace what it means to have a close relationship with You. Help us experience that, God. There is nothing like it in all of creation. We thank You for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.